Silo 17. 58. The comm hub cooled, even as the fire raged below. Wisps of smoke curled out from underneath it. Juliet studied the interior of the great black machine and saw a ruin of broken circuit boards. The long row of headset jacks had shattered, and several of the wires at the base of the machine had stretched and snapped when it tipped over.
"Will it burn out?"
Raph asked, eyeing the wisps of smoke. Juliet coughed. She could still feel the smoke in her throat, could taste those burning pages.
"I don't know," she admitted.
She watched the lights overhead for any sign of faltering. What power the silo has runs beneath the grates down there.
"So this silo could go dark as the mines at any time?"
Raph scrambled to his feet.
"I'm going to get our bags, have our flashlights handy. And you need to drink some more water."
Juliet watched him trot off. She could feel those books burning beneath her. She could feel the wires inside the radio melting. She didn't think the power would go, hoped it wouldn't go. But so much else was being lost. The large schematics that had helped her find the digger might be ash already. The schematics to help her choose which silo to reach out to, which silo to dig for, gone. Tall black machines hummed and whirred all around her, those square-shouldered and unmoved giants. Unmoved, save for one. Juliet rose to her feet and studied the fallen server, and the link between those machines and the silos became even more obvious. Here was one collapsed like her home, like Solo's home. She studied the arrangement of the servers and remembered that their layout was identical to the layout of the silos. Raph returned with both of their bags. He handed Juliet her canteen of water. She took a sip, lost in thought.
"I've got your flashlight. Wait," Juliet said.
She twisted the cap back onto her canteen and walked between the servers. She went to the back of one and studied the silver plate above the nest of wires. There was a silo symbol there with its three downward-pointing triangles. The number 29 was etched in the center.
"What are you looking for?"
Raph asked. Juliet tapped the plate. "Lucas used to say he needed to work on server 6, or server 30, or whatever. I remember him showing me how these things were laid out like the silos. We have a schematic right here." She set off in the direction of servers 17 and 18. Raph followed along.
"Should we worry about the power?" he asked.
"There's nothing we can do about that. The decking and walls down there shouldn't get hot enough to catch. When it burns out, we'll go see." Something caught Juliet's eye as she traced a route between the servers. The wires underneath the floor grates darted in and out of their chutes, running to the bases of the machines. It was a series of red wires amid all the black ones that stopped her.
"What now?"
Raph asked. He was watching her as though he were worried.
"Hey, are you feeling okay?
Because I've seen miners get a rock to their crowns and act loopy for a day."
"I'm fine,"
Juliet said. She pointed to the run of wires, turned and imagined those wires leading from one server to another.
"A map," she said. "Yes,"
Raph agreed.
"A map."
He took her by the arm.
"Why don't you come sit down?
You breathed a lot of smoke.
Listen to me, the girl on the radio, the one from Silo 1. She said there was a map with these red lines on it.
It came up after I told her about the digger. She seemed really excited, said she understood why all the lines went off and converged. This was before the radio stopped working."
"Okay."
"These are the silos," Juliet said. She held out her hands to the tall servers.
"Come here, look."
She hurried around the next row, studied the plates as she searched. 14, 16, 17.
"Here we are, and this is where we tunneled, and that's our old silo."
She pointed to the next server.
"So you're saying we can choose which of these to call on the radio by seeing who's close? Because we have a map just like this down below. Eric's got one."
"No, I'm saying those red lines on her map are like these wires. See? Tunneling deep underground down there. The diggers weren't meant to go from one silo to the next. Bobby was the one who told me how difficult that thing was to turn. It was aimed somewhere."
"Where?"
"I don't know. I would need that map to tell. Unless—" She turned to Raph, whose pale face she saw was smudged with smoke and soot.
"You are on the dig team. How much fuel did that tank in the digger hold?"
He shrugged.
"We never measured in gallons. Just topped it up. Court had the tank dipped a few times to see how much we were burning. I remember her saying we would never use up what was in there.
That's because it was designed to go farther, much farther. We need to dip the tank again to get an idea. And Eric's map should show which way that digger was pointing to begin with. If only—" She snapped her fingers.
We've got the other digger. I'm not following. Why would we need two diggers? We've only got one generator that works.
Juliet squeezed his arm, could feel herself beaming, her mind racing.
We don't need the other one to dig. We just need to see where it's pointing. If we trace that line on a map and project out where our own digger should have gone, those two lines should cross. And if the fuel supply matches that distance, that's like a confirmation. We can see where and how far this place is that she was telling me about. This seed place. She made it sound like another silo. But one out where the air was...
There were voices at the other end of the room. Someone entering from the hall. Juliet pulled Raff against one of the servers and threw her finger over her mouth. But someone could be heard coming straight for them, a quiet clicking, like fingers tapping on metal. Juliet fought the urge to run, and then a brown shape emerged at her feet, and there was a hiss as a leg was lifted, a stream of urine spattering her boot.
Poppy!
She heard Elise scream. Juliet hugged the kids and Solo. She hadn't seen them since her silo fell. They reminded her why she was doing this, what she was fighting for, what was worth fighting for. A rage had built up inside of her, a single-minded pursuit of digging through the earth down below and digging for answers outside. And she had lost sight of this, these things worth saving. She had been too concerned with those who deserved to be damned. This anger melted as Elise clung to her neck and Solo's beard scratched her face. Here was what was left, what they still had, and protecting it was more important than vengeance. That's what Father Wendell had discovered. He had been reading the wrong passages in his book, passages of hate rather than hope, and Juliet had been just as blind. She had been prepared to rush off and leave everyone behind. Raff joined her and the kids, and they huddled together around one of the servers and discussed what they'd seen of the violence below. Solo had a rifle with him, and kept saying they needed to secure the door, needed to hunker down.
"We should hide in here and wait for them to kill each other," he said, a wild look in his eyes.
"Is that how you survived all the years over here?" Raff asked.
Solo nodded.
"My father put me away. It was a long time before I left. It was safer that way."
"Your father knew what was going to happen," Juliet said. "He locked you away from it all. It's the same reason we're down here, all of us, living like this. Someone did the same thing a long time ago. They put us away to save us."
"So we should hide again," Rickson said.
He looked to the others.
"Right?
How much food do you have left in the pantry?" Juliet asked Solo, assuming the fire didn't get to it.
He pulled on his beard.
3 years worth, maybe four, but just for me.
Juliet did the math.
"Let's say 200 people made it over, though I don't think it was that many. What's that, maybe 5 days?
She whistled. A new appreciation for all the various farms of her old home dawned on her. To provide for thousands of people for hundreds of years, the balance was meticulous.
"We need to stop hiding altogether," she said. "What we need..."
She studied the faces of these few who trusted her completely.
"We need a town hall."
Raff laughed, thinking she was joking.
"A what?"
Solo asked.
"We need a meeting with everyone. Everyone left. We need to decide if we're going to stay hidden or get out of here."
"I thought we were going to dig to another silo," Raff said. "Or dig to this other place. I don't think we have time for digging. It would take weeks, and the farms are ravaged. Besides, I've got a better idea, a quicker way."
"What about those sticks of dynamite you've been hauling? I thought we were going after the people who did this."
"That's still an option. Look, we need to do this anyway. We need to get out of here. Otherwise, Jimmy's right. We'll just kill each other. So we need to round everyone up."
"We'll have to do it back down in the generator room," Raff said. "Someplace big enough. Or maybe the farms."
"No."
Juliet turned and surveyed the room around her. She saw past the tall servers to the far walls, saw how wide the space was.
"We'll do it here. We'll show them this place."
"Here?"
Solo asked.
200 people? Here?"
He seemed visibly shaken, began tugging on his beard with both hands.
"Where will everyone sit?" Hannah asked. "How will they see?"
Elise wanted to know. Juliet studied the wide hall with the tall black machines. Many of them clicked and whirred. Wires trailed from the tops and wove their way through the ceiling. She knew from tracing the camera feeds in her old home that they were all interconnected. She knew how the power fed into the bases, how the side panels came off. She ran her hand across one of the machines Solo had marked with the days of his youth. They had added up to years.
"Go to the suit lab and grab my tool bag," she told Solo.
"A project?" he asked.
She nodded, and Solo disappeared amid the tall machines. Raff and the kids studied her. Juliet smiled.
"You kids are going to enjoy this."
With the wires cut from the top and the bolts removed from the base, all it took was a good shove. It went over much easier than the comm hub. Juliet watched with satisfaction as the machine tipped, trembled, and then crashed down with a bang felt through her boots. Miles and Rickson slapped hands and whooped in the manner of boys destroying things. Hannah and Shaw had already moved on to the next server. Elise scampered up on top with a boost from Juliet, wire cutters in her hand, Puppy barking at her to be safe.
"Like cutting hair," Juliet said, watching Elise work.
"We could do Solo's beard next,"
Elise suggested.
"I doubt he'd like that," Raff said.
Juliet turned to see that the miner had returned from his errand.
"I dropped over 100 notes, he told her. "Couldn't write more than that. My hand was cramping. I sprinkled them around so some will be sure to get to the bottom."
"Good.
And you wrote that there was food up here? Enough for everyone?" He nodded. "Then we should get that machine off the hatch and make sure we can deliver. Otherwise, we're going to have to raid the farms above us." Raff followed her to the comm hub. They made sure the smoke wasn't curling up, and Juliet ran her hand along the base, feeling for heat. Solo's hovel was metal on all sides, so her hope was that the fire didn't spread past the pile of books. But there was no telling. The fallen hub made a horrible screech as it was shoved to the side. A cloud of dark smoke billowed out. Juliet waved her hand over her face and coughed. Raff ran to the other side of the server and made as if to shove it back.
"Wait,"
Juliet said, ducking out of the cloud.
"It's clearing."
The server room grew hazy, but there was no great outpouring of smoke. Just a leak from what had been trapped down there. Raff started to lower himself into the hole, but Juliet insisted on going first. She clicked her flashlight on and descended into the dissipating smoke. She crouched at the bottom and breathed through her undershirt. The beam of her flashlight stood out like a solid thing, as if she could strike someone with it if they came at her. But no one was coming. There was a form in the middle of the hall, still smoldering. The smell was awful. The smoke cleared further, and Juliet yelled up to Raff that it was okay to descend. He clanged down noisily while Juliet stepped over the body and surveyed the damage in the room. The air was warm and muggy, and it was difficult to breathe. She imagined for a moment what Lucas had gone through, down there and choking. More than smoke brought tears to her eyes.
"Those were books."
Raff joined her and stared at the black patch in the center of the room. He must have seen that there were books when he rescued her, because there was no sign of them left. Those pages were in the air now. They were in their lungs. Juliet choked on memories of the past. She went to the wall and studied the radio. The metal cage was still bent back from where she'd busted it off the wall so long ago. She flipped the power switch, but nothing happened. The plastic knob was tacky and warm. The insides of the thing were probably a single blob of rubber and copper.
"Where's this food?" Raff asked.
"Through there," Juliet said.
"Use a rag on the door."
He went off to explore the apartment and pantry while Juliet studied the remains of an old desk, a misshapen computer monitor sitting in the center, the panel shattered from the heat. There was no sign of Solo's bedding, just a pile of metal boxes that once held books, some of them sagging from the extreme heat. Juliet saw black footprints trailing behind her and realized the rubber on the soles of her boots was melting from the heat. She heard Raff yelling excitedly from the next room. Juliet passed through the door and found him clutching an armload of cans, his chin pressed to the ones on top of the pile, a goofy grin on his face.
"There's shelves of this," he said.
Juliet went to the pantry door and shined her light inside. It was a vast cavern, with an odd can here or there. But some of the shelves in the back appeared fuller.
"If everyone shows up, it'll last us a few days, no more," she said. "Maybe we shouldn't have called for everyone."
"No," Juliet said.
"We're doing the right thing."
She turned to the wall by the small eating table. The fire hadn't made it through the door. The tall schematics the size of blankets hung there, perfectly intact. Juliet flipped through them, looking for the ones she needed. She found them and ripped them free. Folding them up, she heard a muted thud far above them. the sound of another server falling.